to Senate Education, the committee hearing for Senate bills. It is good to be back at the Capitol and continuing our committee hearing process. I'd like to begin today by thanking everyone who has worked so incredibly hard to make it possible for us to hear bills during this very different time. And our new normal, you see that we are all masked up and we are practicing social distancing to keep everyone safe. And I just appreciate everyone in the Senate who has done such an amazing job to keep us safe and allow us to practice. Yes, we should give them a hand. In response to COVID-19 and to protect the public, senators, and Senate staff, we must limit non-essential gatherings and adhere to social distancing. In compliance with those orders, the Senate will be holding an essential hearing and has made necessary adjustments to normal practices in order to ensure that the public continues to have access to the legislative process while conducting the hearing in a way that protects the health and safety of the public and our employees. As we comply with those orders, we are holding our committee hearings here in the Capitol with some of our committee members participating in debate remotely. Senator Glaser will be participating remotely, and Senator Bell, who has a bill up, will also be presenting remotely. For members who will be attending remotely today, please mute your phones or computers. Our IT personnel will mute and unmute the video service when you wish to speak. This will greatly aid in eliminating any acoustic feedback. I ask that every time you have a comment or question, you use the raise your hand feature in the program. Once recognized to speak, please state your name and the bill number to which you are referring. Welcome, Senator McGuire. To allow public access, we have admitted members of the public to two hearing rooms to the extent that social distancing requirements allow, and we'll be using a teleconference service for those individuals who wish to testify today. Good morning, Senator Lingling. You are going to be right there, one down, very good. For individuals wishing to provide public comment, the participant toll-free number and access code is posted on our committee website. It will be displayed on the screen and I will announce it here. Today's participant number is 1-844-291-6364. And the access code is 898-7934. When we move to public comment, a moderator will identify you individually, open your line, and at that time, you may address the committee. Please note that in order for us to hear you clearly and to avoid acoustic feedback, you must mute the device you are watching and the hearing on prior to giving testimony over the phone. It is important that we hear from you, and we thank you for your patience during this process. I will maintain decorum during the hearing, as is customary, and any individuals who are disruptive may be removed from the remote meeting service or have their connections muted. While every effort has been made to streamline the hearing process and conduct our hearings in as close to the same manner as is customary, there may be some lag times for participants and a few technical issues as we proceed today. Please be respectful and be patient so all interested parties can be heard. The COVID-19 emergency has created an unprecedented situation, leading to significant demands on our students, families, and educational institutions. Our schools and colleges are impacted in terms of both personnel and budgets. Considering the dire situation in which many students, schools, and colleges find themselves, I have asked senators to pare their bill packages back to include only bills that address the most immediate needs of students, schools, and colleges, and that do not add responsibilities or costs. As a result, we will hear far fewer bills than we would under normal circumstances. I deeply appreciate all members' cooperation. There are five bills on today's agenda. Three of those bills are on consent. I would like to recognize those members who are participating remotely in their district offices and who will not be participating here. All right, we have a quorum, so we are going to go ahead and get started. Madam Secretary, can you call the roll, please?
Senator Leyva.
Here.
Senator Wilk.
Present.
Wilk here. Senator Chang.
Here.
Chang here. Senator Durazzo.
Here.
Durazzo here. Senator McGuire.
Here.
McGuire here. Senator Pan.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Wonderful. Members, it's great to see all of you. Thank you very much for being here. We are going to start with our first author, who is Senator Portantino, and he has SB 805, which is before us today. Senator Portantino.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for, A, convening this committee hearing under extraordinary circumstance, and I appreciate the chair's leadership. I was one of those senators who I think had 7 education bills and dropped 6 of them, and so here I am with the one bill that was, in my opinion, directly related to the pandemic, so I'm pleased to present it. I also want to give a shout-out to the Burbank Unified Teachers Association and their president, Diana Basta, who suggested this bill to her superintendent, who also responded positively. And one of the things that I appreciate about SB 805 is that it came from the teacher side, the labor side, and it was embraced by the management side as something to consider. And so I think that gives it a special positive circumstance. And it was an outgrowth over the fires where many school employees lived in areas of the state that were evacuated due to a natural disaster, whose schools were still working because they were in a different part of the state. And so they were forced to use their sick time, though they were evacuated. And so that's the crux of the situation that we're trying to solve is, you know, our employees, whether they're classified maintenance or faculty, teachers, get affected by these natural disasters, including pandemics. And so we've included that as well. 805 prohibits a school district from requiring employees to use their paid leave if unable to report to work. Additionally, 805 clarifies that schools will receive their ADA, which I believe was work of Senator Jackson years ago to make sure that school districts are made whole. And with California experiencing pandemics to COVID-19, and other natural disasters, we think this is a laudable proposal to be concerned for this body. It will ensure that employees don't face financial harm when a natural disaster occurs. The committee has suggested a number of amendments, and we are taking all of the committee amendments. And so my staff was pleased to work with your staff.
Thank you.
So we will take all of your clarifying amendments, which I think make the bill stronger. With me, I believe, via conference is Tristan Brown from CFT and Seth Bramble from CTA, who will express some support for the bill. And so I think this solves a problem that has been highlighted by natural disasters. And I know there are fiscal issues which we will address in the Appropriations Committee. I'm certainly going to be working with the administration to see how it fits into the overall education budget. But on its policy merits, I would respectfully ask for an aye vote today.
Thank you, Senator Portantino. Well done. All right, we think, I'm not sure where Tristan Brown and Seth are. Have they called in on a line? And does the moderator have anybody waiting?
Neither of those people have joined the conference as of yet. We do have a couple that are in queue at this time. We'll go to line number 10. Please go ahead, line 10. Your line is open.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Dolores Duran Flores with the California School Employees Association. We're here in support of this bill.
Thank you, Dolores. Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
Thank you. We'll now go to line 12. Line 12, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Michelle Castro with the Service Employees International Union, also in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next person in support.
No one else in queue at this time. Please continue.
Okay, very good. Did we have anyone in 2040 that wished to testify in support? It looks like no one is there. All right, let's bring it back to the committee. Anyone, those in opposition, do we have any opposition to the bill?
If you are in opposition to the bill on the phone lines, please press 1, then 0 at this time. No one in opposition at this time. Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. All right, now we'll bring it back to the committee. Members, any questions? Senator Pan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Fortuna, I want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. Certainly want to express my support for the bill and the idea that teachers should not be penalized because they were living in a disaster area. I think the one issue, and I'm sure that you'll address it perhaps in appropriations, is I do recognize that school districts may be in a situation where they may have teachers who do live in a disaster area, but they themselves are not, and they have to continue operation. And at some point in time, you know, recognizing that the teacher themselves cannot be in the classroom, meaning that the school district's going to have to find someone else to provide the teaching, and therefore may need some financial support eventually if it's for a prolonged period of time. So I hope you'll address that issue as this bill is moving forward. But certainly support the bill, and would be happy to move the bill at this time, if it's appropriate.
Great. Thank you, Senator Pan. Any other questions? Good?
Okay. No, thank you, Senator Parentino. It can get pretty complicated. I know when it comes to jurisdictions and who represents where and who works where, so there's got to be sort of a reciprocal understanding, I think, that gets adopted. But I appreciate that you're bringing it up. I know this is especially supported because in addition to the teachers, there's regular classified workers who are even more impacted because of their lower salaries. So anyway, thank you and I support.
Thank you very much, Senator DeRazzo. I don't see any more questions here at the dais, and it doesn't look like Senator Glazer, you have any questions remotely? Okay, very good. Would you like to close?
No, it's sort of ironic that the bill had its genesis prior to COVID, but has been made all more real due to COVID, and respectfully ask for an aye vote, and thank you for letting me present it.
Thank you very much, Senator Portantino. The bill has been moved by Senator Pan. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Item number one, SB 805. The motion is due pass as amended to the floor. Senator Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Senator Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Senator Chang?
Aye.
Senator Chang, aye. DeRazzo?
Aye.
DeRazzo, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
All right, that bill is out. 7-0, thank you very much. 6-0, excuse me. Thank you, sir. All right, we are now going to move to Senator Bell, who is testifying remotely. I have to say I'm so impressed with all of my colleagues and all of us learning how to do things a little differently. So Senator Bell, we are gonna go to you. Please present when you're ready. We can see you and I think we'll be able to hear you.
Thank you, Chair and members. I appreciate the opportunity to present this bill remotely. And I'm presenting SB 860. This is a bill which will provide FAFSA completion among foster youth. That's the free application for federal student assistance form that you fill out to get your student aid in colleges. And this will ensure they have support to access the financial aid they need to be successful in college. Right now, more than ever, foster youth need our support. And when crises happen, foster youth are often hit the hardest and are unfortunately not given the necessary support to access various resources made available to them. And we have an urgency to empower our foster youth to pursue a post-secondary education and gain high quality and reliable jobs. In recent years, we've taken a lot of steps in the legislature to take bold actions to invest more funding in financial aid specifically for foster youth. However, the advocates in the fields have identified this FAFSA completion continues to be a barrier for students to access the funds they're entitled to. Right now in California, 40% of the foster youth only receive the federal Pell Grant for foster youth. That's the federal funds, and only 11% actually get Cal Grants. So that's a pretty bad rate, and I'm sure those of you who are familiar with this FAFSA form know how complex and frustrating it is. Think of what it means to a foster youth. So completing it is a first step, and we leave foster youth to navigate it on their own which results in incomplete applications, and of course, they often miss the deadlines. This bill does two things. It, first of all, clarifies the role of the Foster Youth Coordinating Program to include coordinating efforts to support the FAFSA completion among Foster Youth. And it will also add the FAFSA completion rates to their biannual reporting. Right now, with the virus, the Foster Youth, when they don't apply for these grants, what they have is employment. A lot of them don't have employment anymore. A lot of them are paying their way through college by working. And the employment has dropped away from them. They have no families. And the only choice they have is to drop out. So we need to have the grants they're entitled to available to them and increase the completion rate for their educational opportunity. So I'd like to turn it over to the speakers in favor, Debbie Rosher from the John Burton Advocates, and Emerald Evans, who is willing to share her story in the foster youth system on how this bill would have benefited her and others. So thank you, committee, for your attention.
Thank you, Senator Bell. Mr. Moderator, do we have Debbie Rosher on the line and Emerald Evan on the line?
Checking for you. One moment, please.
Thank you.
Yep, Debbie, your line is open. Can you speak?
Please.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, great. My name is Debbie Rosher, and I'm with John Burton Advocates for Youth. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. As Senator Bell shared, research has shown that large numbers of foster youth who enroll in college are missing out on crucial financial aid. Completing the FAFSA is the first step towards obtaining financial aid. However, many foster youth are left to navigate this process without guidance, resulting in low completion rates. In 2017, my organization created the Foster Youth FAFSA Challenge, partnering with County Foster Youth Services Coordinating Programs, or FYSCPs, to increase the rate of FAFSA completion among high school seniors in foster care, in alignment with the responsibilities already articulated for these programs in statute to support post-secondary matriculation. More than 50 counties now participate, and this voluntary effort has seen an increase in FAFSA completion rates from 45% to 58% over 2 years, leveraging over $2 million in federal financial aid. COVID-19 poses a special risk to high school seniors with experience in foster care hoping to enroll in college. Studies after Hurricane Katrina showed that when schools and colleges shut down their campuses, the most disadvantaged youth were the ones most likely to be permanently knocked off track. The FYSCPs have made enormous progress over the past 2 years with FAFSA completion, and SB 860 will codify this work into law, ensuring that the progress that we have seen as a state will not be reversed at a time when these resources will be needed the most. As students in foster care become increasingly disconnected from high schools as a result of the crisis, youth who are in the care and custody of the state of California need now more than ever the steady hand of experts who can fill the gap left by the absence of parental involvement. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Emerald, are you ready to go?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Please proceed.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, good morning, chairs and members of the committee, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my experience with you. My name is Emerald Evans, and I am 21 years old and currently a student at Sacramento State. I was raised in foster care from the age of 5 until I aged out at 21. Throughout my foster care experience, I attended about a dozen schools, which was very challenging for me because my schooling was inconsistent. The content of the curriculum and teaching styles often varied, and it was very hard to adjust when forced to move schools in the middle of the term. Moving this much also made it harder for me to develop consistent relationships, both with adult supporters and my peers. As I concluded my high school years, I was not fully aware of my college opportunities and how to prepare for college, including applying for admission, taking tests like SATs and ACTs, and crucially applying for financial aid. Some barriers that I faced when applying for financial aid included not understanding terminology, not knowing how to access the documents that I needed to apply, and not even understanding the full scope of what financial aid was or its importance. I was fortunate that I was extremely self-motivated and was able to research a lot of these questions on my own, but I have seen many of my peers in foster care not have the capacity to pursue getting the necessary information to successfully complete FAFSA. This bill is very important because it would allow foster youth to have a reliable support system to help them prepare for college despite the advantages that they may face. Having financial aid literacy, as well as support to get through all of the necessary steps in the process, is vital. As a foster youth, not having a typical family background, I don't have access to the types of resources that families typically provide, like being able to live at home, having access to reliable transportation, and, of course, getting financial support from family for educational costs, like books, supplies, and computer and living expenses. This lack becomes even more challenging when a crisis like COVID-19 happens. By designating the Foster Youth Service Coordinating Programs as a central entity to ensure foster youth have support with process, this bill will have a significant impact on many foster youth and their ability to be successful in college. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emerald, for sharing your story. And I couldn't agree more that the FAFSA can be very challenging to fill out. So good for you for figuring it out. But we need to help everyone. All right, we're going to go to those in support. I don't see anyone here in 4203. So we will go to 2040 and see if we have anyone in support there. Seeing no one, we will now go to our lines, our telephone lines. Mr. Moderator, do we have anyone who wishes to speak in support?
Thank you. Yes, we will go to line number 15. Line 15, your line is open.
Thank you.
Good morning, Seth Bramble. On behalf of the California Teachers Association, we are proud not only to support Senator Bell's SB 860, but also the prior bill by Senator Portantino, Senate Bill 805. Sorry, technical difficulties. We urge your aye vote.
Thank you. And no worries. We are all getting used to our new normal. Do we have anyone else in support?
We do. Line 25, 25, your line is open.
Imran Majid with California Community College's Chancellor's Office. On behalf of our Board of Governors, we strongly support this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Others in support?
Thank you. We'll now go to, we'll go to line 26. 26, your line is open.
Good morning. This is Justin Heyer with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, and we're proud to support SB 860 for the reasons previously mentioned. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll now go to line 23. 23, your line is open.
Madam Chair and members, Sylvia Solis Shaw on behalf of the California Faculty Association in strong support.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move along to line number 20. Line 20, your line is open.
Good morning. This is Jessica Maxwell, National Center for Youth Law. We support this bill on behalf of the 38 organizations that signed letters of support. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go to line 28. 28, your line is open.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. Manny Rodriguez on behalf of the Education Trust West here in support.
Thank you.
And we have one more. We'll go to line 24. 24, your line is open.
Good morning. Melissa Bardo with the California Student Aid Commission in support.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Moderator.
That exhausts the phone queue. Please continue.
Thank you very much. Before I bring it back to the committee, do we have any opposition to the bill? I see none here. Do we have any opposition in 2040? Seeing none there. Do we have any opposition on the phone?
No one queued up on the phone lines.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moderator. We will bring it back to the committee. Anyone have any questions, concerns, or comments? Senator Pan? Nope. Senator DeRozzo.
No, I want to thank Senator Bell and especially Emerald. During these very, very difficult times with budget and everything else, the public health crisis, I will be focused on how do we help the most vulnerable, because allowing more people to fall over that cliff is just, that has to be our priority. So I'm very appreciative of all the work that's been done before, but especially now. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator DeRozzo. Vice Chair Wilk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank Senator Bell for bringing this forward. I'm a proud co-author of this bill. I know for me, when I was filling out the FAFSA forms for my kids, I'd go, are you kidding me? It was unbelievably difficult to navigate. And if you look at the data, only 4% of our foster youth go on and graduate from college. So anything we can do to lift up the next generation, we should be doing. So this is a very worthy bill of support.
Thank you, Senator. Members, any further comments? Seeing none, we have a motion by Senator Pan. Madam, yes. Amendments. Oh, Senator Bell, there were some amendments. Do you accept the amendments?
We accept the amendments of the committee. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Now, with that, we have a motion by Senator Pan. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Item number two, SB 860. The motion is do pass as amended to appropriations. Senator Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Senator Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Senator Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Senator Durazzo?
Aye.
Durazzo, aye. Senator McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Senator Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
That bill is out, 6-0. Members, we will now move to the consent calendar before you leave. We have item number three, SB 884 by Senator Dodd. Item four, SB 1181. This is the committee's omnibus bill. And item five, SB 1213, which is from the chair. Do we have a motion for the consent calendar? So moved by Senator Pan. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Consent calendar. Senator Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Senator Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Senator Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Senator Durazzo?
Aye.
Durazzo, aye. Senator McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Senator Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
The bills on consent are out. Members, thank you very much, but more importantly, thank you to all the staff who made this happen and made it so easy. We really appreciate you. For the individuals who participated in the public testimony today, if you were not able to testify, please submit your comments or suggestions in writing to the Senate Education Committee. And thank you to everyone for participating in our new normal. Have a great day. We are adjourned.
Good job, Madam Chair.